This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast and the Cosmic Eye Forecast. And we are in Sagittarius season, and who better to be having this conversation with one of my favorite Sagittarians, Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa.
Hey, Tony. How are you? Hi, everyone. Happy Sag season.
Woohoo! We have to do some woohoos for Sag season. Woo! Seems appropriate. Yeah.
Giddy up. Let's ride.
Oh my goodness.
Saddle up, Tony. It's Sagittarius season. I'm so excited because I am one.
Yes. So as we start every episode of the Cosmic Eye Forecast, we're going to start by leading you into Sagittarius season. So with that, why don't you just take it away, Vanessa, and lead us in.
All right. I'm already saddled up and ready to go. So Sagittarius season, the back to basics is fire sign, transpersonal fire sign, and immutable transpersonal fire sign. So very adaptable, very changeable, inspiration, erratic. Seemingly, there's a point to their purpose, and that's why they carry an arrow or symbolized by that arrow. So nice. Fire is the fire of the spirit. And when I learned astrology, they were talking about the three levels of the fire signs. And of course, Sagittarius is the blue of the flame and the spirit of the flame. So it's a very dualistic sign, as are most of the mutables. How do you put a human with this crazy horse body together? What even is that, Miley Cyrus? Yeah. So it's it's, what is it, sign? The motto is I seek, I expand, and certainly I understand. And personally, I've got five planets, so I feel like I'm okay to talk about this. And I think you are.
You're as good for this one as I was for Virgo season.
That's it. I know. You've got six. So for myself, it's so different to the earth signs, because as soon as I understand something, I'm good to go and I'm on to the next concept. And it's the earth sign, so it remind me, especially Virgo with the square, the thing that's I don't see, but when I experience it, it is so fulfilling. is to take that idea that now I understand and make it into a thing. And when it's in a thing, in an earthly material form, it's amazing. You know, and that's why they work together so well, but can be so at odds, because the Sag is running off to the next idea and the next concept and seeking that next truth. So something to remember for Sagittarius season, you know, expand out, grab that idea and then do something useful with it. Even if that's just to teach it to people that can do something useful with it.
Great point.
Yeah. So ruled by the planet Jupiter. So there's that larger than life, expansive. It's known to be very optimistic, which of course, you know, with every sign, there's two sides of that coin. So that optimism can be blind faith. there's an exaggeration and proportion element to Sagittarius as well. And I love that Sagittarius season coincides with that run up to, you know, with all the spending for the holiday season. You know, it's just no hold barred spending. Everyone's having little parties and things for the holidays coming up. It's a very fun time to be out and about, I think. And of course, Sagittarians are going to have parties. So I always notice here in Australia, there's all these little parties happening out and they're very loud. It's like spot the Sagittarius and their friends. And for a lot of places, we can't do that this year. It'll be a quieter season, but I think memes are going to be funny again, which is great because I was getting a bit bored of those. And so, of course, it's the traveler, the teacher, the student, anything that expands our horizons from where we come from. Expands your mind, expands your understanding. The 70s were very Sagittarian in flavor, and people went over to India and discovered, LSD. Well, that was from Scorpio season, really. The depth, plumbing the depth. Discovered, you know, Buddhism and brought it back. And, you know, the fashion choices could be sometimes dubious, very loud. Yeah, the truth seeker. And I think I have a quote for someone once we get to our new section, Spirit Sagittarius, about that. There's the truth, but the truth hurts as well. It's a very blunt sign. Very blunt. Yes, lost a few friends along the way with that one. Yeah, very high vibe, but then the shadow side is high vibes only and doesn't address the other side that, you know, Scorpio's come through and taught us and Capricorn brings home after this season as well, just to keep that balance right, you know. So, and, you know, it's my birthday coming up soon, Tony. And
happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. 28th of November. And I was looking for a place to, because we can get out and about here, you know, thinking a restaurant that I can have a party. And I hear there's a new restaurant on the moon and it's got really great food. So I looked up some reviews and apparently, unfortunately, no atmosphere. Boom. That was my joke.
You warned me. You warned me there was a groaner coming, but that was a good one. That was a good one.
Astrological joke. I googled them, but only memes came up these days. Memes have taken over the universe.
I know. Yeah, definitely. We just bought some joke books for some friends of ours' kids recently. So they are, you can get them still, but yeah, you just got to order them.
I need a comedy writer. So the pitfalls, there's a few, the dubious fashion choices. Yeah, it can be very dogmatic, actually. And it's important to keep that adaptability and not get stuck on one thing or one belief or one concept. It's not the Sag's journey in life. Yeah, just like to be right, can be a bit righteous. So it's so satisfying being right, I have to say. always learning. You know, and it's like the grass is always greener, always looking, that search that seems to never end. And yeah, somewhere here I've got my quote once we get to it. But the truth is, you know, Sag goes so far and wide uncovering everything, but the fact is it's what you're seeking is within. And that's for all of us this season. You know, it's only, you'll only find it within. That's the Holy Grail in there. Nice. Go within. Yeah, so I think it's interesting that Sagittarius is bookended by that Scorpio that does go inside and Capricorn, get back here, reins it back.
Yeah, definitely.
For good reason. And now do something practical with it once you get to Capricorn. So anything that you have to say about those and how to slay the silly season?
Those are great. I mean, I'll say a little bit more when we get to our spirit signs, where I have a really inspiring Sag to talk about. But when you were talking about the outrageous attire, I just went right to Jimi Hendrix in that purple outfit, and he was a Sag with Sag on the ascendant, and Sag. I just looked him up here. Venus and Mercury and the Sun and Sag.
Right. And the Sun ascendants are definitely very classic. So let's hit the classic Sagittarius. We're calling this new section. Who's your spirit Sagittarius, Tony?
Sure. Mine is Amanda Boxtel. And you may not have heard of Amanda, but she was already channeling her Sagittarian fire into her love of outdoor sports when tragically at the age of 24, she had a freak skiing accident that left her unable to use her legs.
Which I have to say is so classic. The skiing accident.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So she was just being full on Sagittarius and had that accident. And so, but I promise this story is going to, it's going to go down a little bit, but it'll come back up. And, you know, we know that Saturn is said to rule the spine, which makes sense given its association with structure. And Amanda Boxtel had the Sun and Saturn conjunct in Sagittarius, both on her ascendant. So she sustained a permanent spinal cord injury on that day. And on that day of the accident, transiting Mars, Venus, and Saturn were opposing her natal Uranus. And in her best Sagittarian form, though, she ignored the doctors who that day told her she'd never walk again. And here we see one of the highest expressions of Saturn in Sagittarius, which is triumph in the face of adversity, because that's exactly what she did do, is triumph. And today, with the assistance of high-tech bionic legs, she's walking again. And according to her website, she's a passionate and dynamic motivational speaker, already showing another side of Sagittarius there. And she captivates her audiences with her stories, weaving in the valuable lessons she's learned along the way. High Sagittarius, right? And she warms their hearts with laughter and compassion. I mean, you just can't make this stuff up. That's not an astrologer writing that. That's just them talking about her. And it just sounds like high functioning Sagittarius, right?
Yeah, classic. And just that not accepting limits. Absolutely.
Definitely. Definitely. So if you're, we think of Saturn being in Sagittarius as our first thought is, that might be a bit of a downer for Sagittarius. But in this case, we're seeing a really inspiring example. And I think she could be a great inspiration if you have Saturn in Sagittarius, but just even for exemplifying some of the higher potentials of Sagittarius in general. And I think the slogan from her website really just sums up the best of that in a nutshell, which is turning no into yes, one step at a time.
Absolutely. And now she's the bionic woman.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And these bionic legs, as you might imagine, are quite pricey. So she's made it her mission to try to find ways to make them available to other people. It's currently her mission to make them available to more people at a attainable price. So she's trying to spread that mobility around the world as well to help other people in her situation.
And mobility is a Sag thing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah, it's classic in so many ways. I have a few here, and I wanted to illustrate, how you can that duality of Sagittarius, it can be sort of the clown and sage wisdom all rolled into one, or different Sages can exemplify different ends of that spectrum that they seem to run on. So, you've got Jane Fonda has been Barbarella. She was known for her aerobics and the workouts, which is also very Sagittarius, very physical sign, and that movement and mobility is a real key. And then she's this apart from fitness guru, actress, comedian, feminist, rancher. she's an activist, and she's super serious. She's been arrested, all the things, and she's still going strong as well. Mm-hmm. We've got, of course, there's going to be a few gurus thrown in there because, the word guru in India means teacher. Yeah. And that's what the word for Jupiter is, which rules Sagittarius. It's called guru. And Osho. He was huge. If anyone watched that Netflix series,
that's crazy. He also has four out of bounds planets.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has the Moon, Venus, Mercury, and Mars all out of bounds.
There you go.
Helps. He is a little bit out there for sure, but definitely exemplifies some of those Sagittarian qualities.
Yeah, right? And he is infinitely quotable. Quotable. Some of these Sagittarians, of course, known for their speeches and their spin. And so he says, and this is what I was mentioning before, the truth is not something outside to be discovered. It is something inside to be realized.
Yeah.
And there is no greater truth than that, if you ask me. Yeah, so simple. He also says, and this is interesting because he's a lot in Capricorn as well. So, he says, be realistic, plan for a miracle. And he says, life begins where fear ends as well.
Life begins where fear ends. Is that what it was?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Few good ones. And then we've got Noam Chomsky. So classic on that high end of Sagittarius, linguistics, philosopher, educator, Sun, Mercury, Saturn, conjunct Sag rising. So there you've got a Saturn Sag in there as well.
Yeah.
And he says, optimism is a strategy for making a better future, because unless you believe that the future can be better, you're unlikely to step up and take responsibility for making it so. And I think that's part of the luck. It's known Jupiter's the lucky planet. Sagittarius tends to be quite lucky, and it's that faith, I think, and that belief in the future, which can also be a downfall. But if you believe that it's going to be okay and turn out right, you'll try. Otherwise, you might not even try. So you're more likely to succeed because you even gave it a go. And with Sagittarius, even if you fail, you never lose everything because you just learned something. And that's so exciting for Sagittarius.
Definitely. That was such a great quote. Such a great one. You could just do a mic drop after that one for this podcast episode.
Absolutely. And it just doesn't stop. He's got so many. He also infinitely quotable. He'd be a great spirit Sagittarius for everyone to read into actually over Sagittarius season, I must say. Mm-hmm. And one more I'll say, because I never knew much about him. So I'm going to look more into him as well. So tough love is just the right phrase. Love for the rich and privileged, tough for everyone else. That seems appropriate for this year.
Okay. Yeah.
And he spoke a lot like that, and he consciously used humor to educate, which is very Sagittarius too at their best. Nice. We have the inspirational preacher side of Sagittarius in Winston Churchill. I thought he was, you know, in a time where it was very depressing in England, he was the one that was like, no, come on, we can do it. He was a cheerleader. Mm-hmm. And he says things like Noam Chomsky, history will be kind to me, for I intend to write it. That's the fire way. Across as egoic, but it's yeah. You know, there's a place for that. Attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference.
Okay. You know what I like about that previous quote is I always talk about Jupiter and writing the story of your life. And thinking about the Jupiter in your own chart. And that's just a great example, that quote.
Yeah. What an attitude, hey?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is part of, like, when I was writing Cosmic Power, I was looking up different ways of, you know, building self-esteem and rewriting your story, like spending so much of my time writing. Write yourself in for a start. Mm-hmm. Write who I picked up off, someone else said that to me, and she does, and I've really taken it on. Write yourself in. She's an actress, so she said if someone doesn't write a part for you, especially for women, there's often been, you know, you can be the wife or the girlfriend of the main, you know, story. So she's like, write yourself in, and she, with this attitude, she just, oh my gosh, she goes stratospheric and just experiences the most amazing thing. She's got a lot in Pisces, so just she's very magical like that.
Nice.
But yeah, write yourself in, write your own story. So with therapy, you can go through and like just rewrite your story from the past, change it around, write your future. You know, there's a big sort of trend in, you know, future journaling.
Right.
So yeah, and it's interesting looking at mindsets, of course, of people that have been very successful or kind of just achieved a lot, and you can learn so much from them. And these are good examples. That's why they did what they did, because that was their mindset, and we can all adopt that or learn something from it. And Sag is about expanding yourself and your mind, and, you know, great month to do it.
That makes me think of, you know, I'm jumping the gun here. I've got a million books on my, we have a segment at the very end called What's on Your Coffee Table. Really, it's not my coffee table. It's my desk. But you made me think of this book called Tribe of Mentors by Timothy Ferriss, where he collects life advice from, I think there are 100 people in here, if I remember right, but 100 different successful folks, successful in different different areas of life for different reasons, sharing inspiring ideas and thoughts. It struck me as very, very, very apt for what you were just describing.
Yeah, so that would be a great one to look through and pick up the mindsets. You know, just because you didn't learn it from your parents or at school or when you're younger doesn't mean you can't learn it now or ever. Like, that's the student of life vibe. You never stop learning. You never stop growing. They've proved that our brain is always, you know, changing. It doesn't just, like, get stuck. It's always open to learning. So write your own story. There's lots of comedians, of course, real in comedy, and there's lots in astrology of Sagittarius vibes, I've noticed. Jonathan Kahner being, I think, one of the most successful financially from England. You've got me, the Astro Twins, Mecca Woods, Drew and Amy, I think, that collaborate with you.
Yeah.
I think they both. Sage Winters, if no one's heard of her or if anyone has, she's very funny. She goes through the signs on YouTube and she's hilarious with lots of examples. Sage
awesome.
Winters. I think she has a show called Sage Wisdom as well on there. Very funny.
Great.
So from that, I always say Sage Wisdom because I think it's hilarious.
Nice.
And, of course, I have to mention the US has the Sag rising, the Sibley chart has the Sag rising, and you can see that coming through in everything's like bigger than Ben-Hur, it's bigger than Texas, like big things. And if you combine the Cancer sun with the Sagittarius rising, you get like big meals, like people love eating, you get supersized those meals.
Right.
There's a funny side, yeah, to I think the US. There's a real sporty side. You guys always smash it at the Olympics and have great outfits too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, I guess. Yes.
And I think too, the cowboy, cowgirl, you know, that's just so sad. And people really identify with that freedom, you know, even I won't go there more than this, but the freedom to bear arms, like it's about the freedom in that identity, because it's not very Cancerian.
And freedom of speech and freedom of religion and all those are very Sagittarian themes, aren't they?
Yeah. I feel like from the outside, I can really see the Sag influence in there. There's like, it's the home of positive thinking.
Mm.
Absolutely. It's the home of like new aginess, which is, I think, so Sagittarian. Mm. It's the home of like the inspirational, aspirational kind of lifestyle. And it's the home really of boom or bust. You guys go big or you just like bust out. It's like, it's so extreme. You know, little Australia is sitting here. We're ruled by Capricorn. And we're like, we don't go huge, but we don't go. We've got a lot of Sag though in our chart. But
yeah,
you know, the 2008 big bust, you guys, no one did it better than you guys, I don't think. But then, you know, you do the largesse and lifestyles also extreme from where I'm sitting. And I think as a Sag, I resonate very much and quite enjoy the Sag side of the American personality.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, you know, shadow side of Sag, not everybody does. No. Not everybody does enjoy that about that side of America. Yeah.
And there's always two sides to that coin too. There's a great side. And of course there's the absolute shadow side of everything. And they always exist to the same degree. That's the fact. Yeah. With that one. And I'll just say, you guys, Tony, you're going to talk about this too. Like Sagittarius is very, there's something with the popular culture. There is a little bit of a fascination and interest in the popular culture. And you guys voted in a celebrity as your president without going there further than that.
And before that as the governor of California.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And there have been other examples too. Yeah. So, but you know, you don't even need to go there to know that we're totally enamored with celebrity culture.
You guys, again, the home of it. Like we eat all that stuff up here and we're not even, you know, we're a different country. It comes, it's dispersed everywhere. Stuff that comes out of America, it does go international and, you know, affects on different levels. And I think that's that Sagittarian international kind of vibe as well.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a lot of drama in the politics too. Like it's all very Capricorn here and it's pretty boring, but you know, the way the whole system's set up there, they have to really push and get that popular vote and like be larger than life here. It's much more quiet and definitely more boring, which sometimes is a good thing.
Yeah. I was just like, I long for boring politics.
Yeah, please. Right. Yes. So that's our spirit Sagittarius section. Anything more to add to that? You had another
example. I have more people we could talk about, but we've got a lot of stuff to cover today, so we can go on. You shared some great examples.
Thank you.
I love talking about Philip K. Dick with Sagittarius, but we'll save that for another time.
Okay. Well, let's hit the monthly moons.
Yes, the monthly moons. I think that's still your section. So tell us about the monthly moons this month. We're going to mention a little something about that after that section, but let's just.
Yeah. So it's also part of our headline key signatures, which are the eclipses, which I will get into after this section. So both the full moon and new moon do have eclipses accompanying them. So the full moon is on November 30. It's at 8 Gemini, and so that's a full moon in Gemini opposite the sun in Sagittarius. So that's a communication axis right there. It's trine Chiron, so opportunity for healing, that assertiveness side. And the I am principle, to me, it's like assertiveness and action. I don't usually use semi-squares. So actually, yeah, we'll just stick with
I don't
that.
Either.
Yeah, sometimes in a personal chart, but not with the transits so much. Right. So full moon in Gemini. So remember, you know, Sag can be so spin and it can really exaggerate. And Gemini does help balance that out with know what really are the facts, just the facts, ma'am. You know, like a journalist, they've really got to take down what you said. They don't get to add their own bit, whereas Sagittarius will add for effect and to make the story more memorable. So that'll be an interesting one this month. It's very social. The vibe's very social. So on the full moon, I think there'll be a lot of energy for like talking and communication, and people will be on the Twitter. The Twitterverse will be lit. But then we have the eclipse on that as well. So the new moon is going to be a total eclipse December 14 at 23 Sagittarius. And we'll go back into that too. So new moon in Sagittarius, plant your seeds for intention, unless you're of the school of, but it's got an eclipse on it, don't be doing that kind of magic. Like it, you can't control it. I read that a few eclipses ago that a few people thought that. So, yeah, that's up to you. But I still like to put my intentions down and maybe just leave it to the universe to know best. Here you go. This is what I'm gunning for. So bring it in whatever way you think. Yeah. So for Sagittarius, like finding the knowledge that you seek, committing to doing a course of study that you've always wanted to do, to expanding your world, to discovering new cultures, to finding a sense of inner freedom and external freedom, to, you know, knowing the truth of yourself. You know, you can get really philosophical as far as you want to go.
Right.
So, yeah, plant those intentions with the caveat of, yeah, it is an eclipse. So give me the headlines, Tony.
Yes.
Just the headlines.
Just the headlines. Well, we have a little bit of easier job this month. We have Jupiter and Saturn still conjunct in Capricorn as we speak, and all month they're getting closer and closer together as they get as they near that jumping the threshold moment on December 21st that we've all been waiting for, when they both move into Aquarius and form what we call the Grand Conjunction, which is a 20-year cycle that we celebrate and track with Jupiter and Saturn. Every 20 years, they come together in a conjunction, and they're forming a grand conjunction and the start of a new cycle, a 200-year cycle, roughly 200-year cycle, that will emphasize that air energy with every conjunction that follows after that up until about 200 years from now, when they'll switch into water. So we've just ended a roughly 200-year cycle where they've all the conjunctions except one have been in Earth. So it's a tangible cycle that if we could flash forward to 200 years from now and look back, we would really notice the shift between this 200-year period and the one just before. So we're at that threshold right now, and we're really at the peak of that threshold this month, like in the next 30 days, right? So we're coming up as Jupiter and Saturn are conjuncting right now. They're in the last degrees of Capricorn, and that's really, really important. So things really kind of come to a head when planets are in the last degrees of a sign. And it's like all of the issues that are undone relative to that topic, it's like crunch time to get everything wrapped up if possible. So we're all feeling that energy. Of course, it's coinciding with some events that really gets enhanced by. Another thing to notice, though, with this conjunction is that Jupiter and Saturn are now separating from Pluto. So they've been conjunct Pluto all year, and we've noticed that in the correlation with the coronavirus, among other things. They're now separating. So Jupiter and Pluto have just been in their last pass of a conjunction that really correlated with another peak in the spread of the coronavirus, and now they're separating. So we could read this period from now forward as all the cards are on the table now in terms of the Pluto influence, and now we just have to complete the game. So I don't think there's likely to be any new Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto event that also takes us into a brand new challenge that's outside the context of the challenges we're already facing. And I think that's good news. We could still see complexity and challenges and difficult events, but they're going to, I think, relate to the main stories that we already know about: the coronavirus, the US election results, et cetera. So I think we'll still see some events unfolding around those things, but it's going to have that wrapping things up, coming to a head kind of vibe to it. And we can tap into those energies consciously if we choose to. And I recommend that you do in whatever areas of your life this might apply to. As those two planets are in the last degrees of Capricorn, and some keywords here that you can try to bring in as you're trying to embody or step into these energies are resolution, wrapping things up, as I said, processing challenging events. So processing time, right? So processing things that have already been happening this year, wrapping things up around that, endings, just flat out endings, finalizing things, finalizing deals, finalizing projects, closing up shop, and also just taking care of business, getting things done, especially now that we're in the end of the Mars retrograde cycle, we're done with Mercury retrograde, and we can move forward with wrapping up business that's been in progress. These are all good metaphors or intentions that we can actualize as we move into this next few weeks. And they're words that we also might use to describe what's happening in our lives and in the collective. And again, that date that we're looking for when those planets kind of cross the threshold is December 21st, which is where we're going to start our next podcast. And that's at 2:26 Mountain Time, Grand Conjunction in Aquarius. Jupiter actually will be entering Aquarius. Is it Jupiter that goes in first? Let me see here. Yes, Jupiter goes in first on December 19th.
Yes, and then Saturn on December 17th, Saturn.
Oh, so it is Saturn first. Right? I thought it was Saturn first because that made, I thought Jupiter should be first, but it's actually Saturn. Saturn
goes
in.
Yeah, and Jupiter catches.
December 17th, Jupiter goes in December 19th. So even though they're both in Aquarius, they're not exactly conjunct yet. I think we're splitting hairs at this point. I think we're going to notice on December
19th. They're in orb. Yeah.
Yeah. They're in very close orb. Yeah. But if you want the technical exact to the minute date, that's December 21st at 2:26 PM Mountain Time. All right. So there's a lot going on in that chart, and I'm going to come back to one of those things shortly, which is Mercury is out of bounds for a good part of this month. Come back there in a minute. But another thing, speaking of wrapping things up and taking care of business and closing out a cycle, Mars retrograde cycle is nearly over. The station direct was on November 14th at 15 degrees Aries, but that's not technically the end of the cycle. So you don't want to have your full on, yay, Mars retrograde is over celebration just yet. I mean, you can enjoy some of that for sure. I'm already noticing a shift in the Mars energy and things moving forward, but we're still in the shadow period as we speak today. And as of today, Mars is also still very slow. And that slowness is a really important part of understanding any retrograde cycle. So when a planet stations retrograde or stations direct, we say that that energy gets kind of consolidated. And it's because that planet's really kind of at a standstill at that 1 degree. Mm-hmm. And it's a planet that's usually moving faster, but it's hanging out at that 1 degree for longer. And while Mars is still slow and hanging out in that 15 degree Aries zone for pretty much until the end of the month, it's consolidating more energy on that one spot and in general in its expression of Mars and Aries. But then as it starts to pick up speed, we'll feel Mars get back into its normal forward moving rush of energy. On December 10th, we have an important date in the Mars retrograde cycle, and that's Mars forms a trine with the sun after every retrograde cycle. And it's said that this moment is often a good time to harness forward moving energy or plans that you've made as a result of re-strategizing or reworking or adjusting your plans while you're in the retrograde. So if you're still not clear about what this Mars retrograde was about for you, you might get some insight around this time. And if you are really clear and you're waiting for a moment to take action, this is usually a moment when you would want to take action and kind of use that date and use that trine between the Sun and Mars. This time around, I'm not totally recommending that because of that crossing the threshold moment that we just talked about. So when two huge outer planets change signs, they're going to shift the energy a lot. So if you start a project right before this big energy is going to shift, it can kind of impact your project in more ways than one. And one way that it might impact it is, you know, come January, you might be tapping into some of this new energy and you might shift your plans even more. So I'm recommending that you will really wait. If you really want to start something new, wait until after the shadow period officially ends on January 3rd, when Mars crosses 28 degrees Aries. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about that and those details next month. But for now, it's appropriate to lift or soften any Mars retrograde cautions that you've applied to yourself for the most part, with one caveat. And that is, I'd say you have a green light now with actions that were already in place before Mars retrograde. So if you've been revising something that you had in the works earlier this year or that you've been in progress with, I think it's fine to move forward now. And you know, maybe you wait until that Sun Mars trine, but I think it's fine to move forward on projects that are already in place. But if you've been preparing something new, like a new launch, and it's a really big deal, you might, if you're able to, wait until next year and capitalize on all this new energy. So the last thing I want to talk about is part of our headlines here. This is a headline for me, but I know it's not for everybody because not everybody knows about or works with declination, but Mercury will be going out of bounds, which just means Mercury's at its peak declination. So it's reaching the top of one of its cycles. One of the extreme parts of its cycles on December 12th, and it'll stay there for the rest of the month. So for the rest of December, this is really rare. This amount of time of Mercury being out of bounds. Usually Mercury is only out of bounds for a few days. So really we're going to notice Mercury being out of bounds for most of December, from December 12th on. And interestingly, Mercury will be out of bounds in the chart for the Jupiter Saturn grand conjunction, just as it was 20 years ago. So this happened 20 years ago. And the late great astrologer, Robert Blaschke, had some thoughts about this in the last chart. And I heard a lecture from him in the 2000s where he talked about that chart from 2000. I believe it was when Jupiter and Saturn had the conjunction and Mercury was also out of bounds. And he made a prediction that we were going to have problems with the news, with misinformation and disinformation, is how he put it back then. And boy, have we noticed that.
My God, could it be more extreme?
Yeah, could it be more extreme? Very extreme. So if Robert's right about that, unfortunately, we have more of that to come in this next 20-year cycle, because Mercury will also be out of bounds in this Jupiter-Saturn grand conjunction chart. Mercury is going to stay out of bounds, or Mercury will also be out of bounds on December 14th when we have a solar eclipse that Jessica or Vanessa already mentioned. And you might recognize that date if you're in the United States as the date. That's the date when the Electoral College records mm-hmm. their votes in the presidential election. It's a very fascinating chart. I'm just going to show it to you really quick here. For those of you watching this on YouTube, you'll get to see this. And for those of you just listening to the podcast, I will describe it. So we're looking at this solar eclipse, total solar eclipse chart on December 14th. And this is just timed for the moment of the eclipse. And we have the Sun and Moon in Sagittarius. So it's like a new moon, solar eclipse. And Mercury is also in Sagittarius. And the nodes are in Sagittarius and Gemini. The nodes are always important in an eclipse because they're that's part of the eclipse technicality there. I don't actually interpret the eclipse as much, so I don't have a lot to share with you about that. But you might want to look this one up. It's a very interesting chart. What I can say is that I'm interested in this chart because Mercury out of bounds is there, right, with the new moon, and Mercury is also in an exact trine with Mars. So Mercury's at 20 degrees Sagittarius and Mars is at 20 degrees Aries. I think of this as a very freedom-oriented aspect. It could be an aspect that speaks to a new start. So that's one potential. Mars, though, is with the very outer planet Eris, which speaks to potential disruptions, among other things. And the other thing that I'm curious about this chart and curious to see how it plays out is that Mercury is square Neptune. So Mercury out of bounds is square Neptune. And the thing that Vanessa and I keyed into as we were thinking about this aspect is truth versus falsehood.
Yeah, and the illusion of truth is the first thing that came to me when I saw that.
Yeah, and you asked the question, what is truth?
What is truth anyway? Exactly, yeah, and you can get into the Sag Pisces vibes with that as well. Like, what is it? Like, dissolve the limits of what truth is and you open up to a bigger truth perhaps, or are you just lost?
Right, definitely. And Mercury out of bounds in the charts, in the natal charts of folks, can be a really gifted aspect. The famous codebreaker Alan Turing had Mercury out of bounds. And if you just think about his work as a codebreaker, it speaks to this extreme talent, mercurial talent. So Mercury out of bounds can correlate with that for sure, can correlate with thinking outside the box, literally. But it can also correlate with thinking too far outside the box. So we're really looking at a signature that has to do with extremes. And whenever Mercury is in aspect to Neptune, we can go a bit far, and especially Neptune and Pisces, we can go a bit far afield of rationality. We're meant to take in some of the imaginal, irrational, unseen world. But it's a tense relationship here because it's a square. So there's going to be work that we need to do in order to work with these two points of view. So if you're tracking some of the events in the world, you'll immediately understand how those work. But I just wanted to kind of name those energies without going into great detail about them today. And then I also, for those of you watching the video, this is the chart for December 21st and the moment of that grand conjunction between Jupiter and Saturn. You see Jupiter and Saturn there at 0 degrees Aquarius. This is a very important degree in the charts of some people in politics, including Obama, who has, I believe it's doesn't he have Jupiter at 0 degrees, or is it Saturn?
I don't know, I can't remember actually.
Now. I shouldn't have mentioned it because I can't remember what planet it is, but it is a very important planet there at 0 degrees Aquarius. So whenever we see event charts like this, tapping into a public figure's chart, we know they're going to play some role in that moment. So that's interesting to watch, interesting thing to watch out for. All right. So that's basically my headlines for today. Is there anything you wanted to add to that?
I think they are the headlines. And for everyone else, just, you know, astrology, you learn astrology through observation as well. So with the eclipses coming up, just observe, you know, what's happening with people that those eclipses conjunct perhaps their sun and moon. Or where are they in your chart? Are they aspecting any major planets? What part of life is it? You know, some people can really feel them in their lives and some people can't, and or different times, and that's probably because they're in aspect to something significant, or something needs to change and you're so far away from it you really notice that slap back. That's how I've noticed them. They can be really helpful even though they don't seem it at the time. It's like pressing a reset on something.
Definitely. And those degrees, yeah. I didn't say them because I don't remember saying them. They're 23 degrees Sagittarius. So if you have something at 23 degrees Sag or 23 degrees Gemini or 23 degrees Pisces or 23 degrees Virgo.
Yes. It's interesting. That's all going to hit my Mercury. I've got Mercury out of bounds in Sagittarius. So maybe, Tony, I should run things by you before.
I
just go for it. Shoot that arrow.
No, I think that's what your chart says to do, right? It's like your chart doesn't say to exert caution. It says throw caution to the wind.
I love throwing caution to the wind. Excellent.
Yes. I think, you know, you learn, we all learn in different ways. And I think we should be celebrating our chart's gifts. But the advice I usually give to out of bounds people, it's not, you know, I'm always a little bit hesitant about this because I don't want people to hear that while Mercury's out of bounds, that you should be cautious. And that's not the point of Mercury being out of bounds. The point is to use that time to think outside the box. So if you're trying to code break something in your own life, you know, in other words, if you're just trying to figure something out, mark your calendar for that time period for December 12th through the rest of December to put some concerted effort into thinking about something. It's in Sagittarius, you know, dig out those spiritual books that you're really into or those spiritual teachings and dive in, go deep into your meditation practice while Mercury's square Neptune. You know, you may find yourself in some very wonderful deep places, and you can really utilize the creative potential of this aspect in big ways. And that's why I don't like to make a big deal about what I'm about to say next, which is just that definitely it's also possible to go a bit too far afield and to get too far out there. And so it can help to have a Saturnian type of friend that can kind of give you a reality check, but you don't want them to rein you in from that creative potential that's been unlocked by this transit. So you really want to honor that unlocked feeling. So, you know, I always just say, if it's not causing harm to you or anyone else, you know, go for it. And if, when Mercury goes back in bounds, if you decide that was a crazy idea, what was I thinking? You'll have a fun story to tell your friends.
Exactly. And I definitely agree with that. Just tapping into the feeling and the thought of it. It's an opportunity for sure for making a breakthrough and dissolving beliefs as well. And opening things up and just, riding rough in the spiritual realm. Definitely. If you listen to, some Noam Chomsky, read some Osho, like people or philosophers or sort of spiritual gurus or whatever it is, they'll help open your mind up and you might catch more of what they're talking about and be able to possibly integrate it. But that Neptune square will help dissolve and open things up for sure. Like the squares are also about challenging you to push through, aren't they? That's the tension of them. So, even if you've gone down like a weird side road off into some strange land, just enjoy it, I guess. Make them have an adventure. Just see what's there. That's the Sag vibe. And, you know, sometimes you have to put it out there to see the reaction back. And I agree with Tony, as long as it's not hurting anyone. I feel like there's been a lot of bullying going on. I feel like it's back at school and I avoided things like that and went to the library personally. But as long as it's not that, and go for it.
Yeah, definitely. And as always, we'll see shadow expressions. We'll see people not doing a great job with these energies, but we're trying to describe for you some of the ways you can harness them for good, for sure. That kind of takes us into our next section, which is opportunity knocks.
So much opportunity, so many opportunities coming knocking at the door, Tiny. And what do you do when opportunity comes and knocks at the door?
You open the door.
And you give it a cookie. Come in.
Or come on in. Or a delicious pecan bar, which my partner just made yesterday.
Oh,
made these. I know it's not going to sound good when I describe it, but there's no refined sugar in them, but they're delicious. They're amazing. So good. Yummy. Anyway, so when opportunity knocks, you eat an extra pecan bar. It's it's the holiday
with
season.
No sugar.
It's
Sag
season.
It's Sag season.
More is better.
More is better. And what you will always get is more with Sagittarius. So, it's about expansion. So no sugar. So we have 13 opportunities. Like lately, the last few months, we've been grasping at these. We've had to mention every single one because there's been like three. We've got 13 this time, trials and sextiles, seven trines, six sextiles, or or is that 15 easy streets? There's my math. Anyway, so we've got, which ones to even mention? They're inner planets, you know. It's all about Mercury and the Sun and Venus, basically, with trines and sextiles to Chiron, things in other fire signs or air signs.
Well, I picked out a few, and I have a few dates. So I can kick this one off, but we have... just to carry on what I was saying before Mercury goes out of bounds. So this is just before, and this is coming up in just a couple of days. November 23rd, we have Mercury in Scorpio trine, Neptune in Pisces. Mm-hmm. This is a water trine. It's Mercury in Scorpio. So this is a good one for a deep dive. You know, Neptune mm-hmm. in Pisces is the ocean of consciousness. If we're talking about a good day for some creative meditations, if you're a meditator, block out extra time November 23rd. That is a good one. This is also a good time for, it's Mercury in Scorpio, could be a great time for deep conversations. There's a nice trine there. If you need to bring up a deep subject with somebody you love, this might be some good energy to tap into. It could also be a good time to dive deep into some research or some, you know, Neptune in Pisces isn't really research oriented, but the Mercury in Scorpio piece is, but maybe even better would be some creative writing or creative thinking. You could really tap into some deeply into some imagination and some.
And it's like the last great chance to do some deep dive shadow work on yourself and dive down and look around in your subterranean depths. It's a trine, you know, and, you know, give it the love from and the acceptance and dissolve it with that Neptune in Pisces.
Love it. Yes. I love what you just said. So bringing up something that you've been working on to release mm-hmm. into the ocean of consciousness or release into the
absolutely depths. Yeah, with and it's Mercury, so like in your thinking processes, like what have you been just been stuck on your craw in your craw, as Brene Brown says, you know, you've been obsessing about, or a jealousy thing, or a, you know, those more difficult emotions or ways of thinking, you know. Scorpio is transformative. It's a really good opportunity. Yeah, just to choose one and focus on that and let it go.
Definitely. And then November 28th, we have another Mercury aspect. This is Mercury in Scorpio still. And this is from November 28th to 30th. Mercury in Scorpio will sextile Jupiter and Saturn in Capricorn. So this could be a day where we tap into some of that energy I was describing earlier, where we're taking care of business and wrapping things up. And it's in a Mercury way. Maybe we're having an important conversation again. Maybe we're telling the truth to somebody. Maybe we're telling it like it is. Mercury in Sagittarius can be a truth teller, like truth with a capital T. I think Mercury in Scorpio is sometimes it's the truth hurts version of the truth, but this is a sextile that we're tapping into. So this might be a way to help somebody wake up and smell the coffee, or to get real about something, or to just lay all your cards on the table, maybe. Anything else you want to say about that one, Vanessa?
It'll be smoother, I think, because it's in sextile. It will be, you'll manage to do it in a smoother way that the person can understand, rather than, when it's a square, that's the time you don't do it because it lands so flat, even though it might be so true. and they never talk to you again. And it's a good day for that, for sure.
And then December 5th, we have a Venus in Scorpio aspect. So we have Venus in Scorpio in this time. Venus in Scorpio is going to be trine Neptune in Pisces. So in November 23rd, we had Mercury in that place. And then Venus comes along into that same spot. Venus in Scorpio trine Neptune in Pisces speaks to some deep connection in relationship. This could also be, you know, time to tap into some deep energy in your art. If you're an artist, Venus, that's always a potential there. But we think about Venus and connection and how we connect, and Venus and Scorpio going deeply, making a deep connection. Scorpio's fixed water. So, and Neptune in Pisces is, I don't know, as deep water as it gets, right? So it's another dive deep aspect, but it's dive deep Venus style instead of Mercury style. So we're talking about connection, building bridges of rapport.
Yes.
Art, artistry, beauty, beauty as a concept.
And I think too, you know, again, for marking these in your diary, you know, I've really noticed on days like that, there's a beautiful vibe. There's a beautiful energy. If you are a water sign, you'll feel it the most. If you're not, it's a good chance to perhaps utilize that water that's around actually. But I find sometimes if you just, you know, that that's what's happening on the day and you happen to have this really amazing connection with something, someone, it's significant. And yeah, I was going to say too, I forgot in the headlines, a lot this month there's a lot of planets changing signs. So changes of the guard, real change of energy this month.
Yeah, a lot of shifts and a lot of welcome shifts from everybody I've talked to. People are like, give me anything different. I don't care if it's also challenging. Just a different challenge would be nice.
There's a lot of vibe to it, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of water energy that we're experiencing right now in the midst of all this.
And all the earth, a very earth-heavy year that we've had.
Yeah.
So then we've got like, there's a few from the sun, like then we get the shift into the fire. So we've got sun in Sag, trine Mars in Aries. We start getting later into the month, we get Mercury going into, Mercury's in Sagittarius, trine the Mars in Aries. The Venus finally gets into Sagittarius at the end of Sag season, actually. So that's going to take us through Capricorn season. So you'll get that nice blend of Sag and Capricorn as well. But we've got Venus trine Chiron in Aries. So the fire really starts to pick up as the planets all move, shift into Sagittarius, and you get more of a, classic Sag vibe. So I think towards the end of the month, the spending starts really ramping up.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So do we need to tell people to be careful about spending, or what do you think? What's your advice there, Vanessa?
I think so. Like just do the checks and balances, check the budget, and I always think with Sagittarius and spending, have a little, you know, you can take it back if you want to, or a little checks and balances. Like I really feel the vibe when all those planets go into Sag, and the closer we get to the holidays, Spirit Sagittarius is the Santa Claus archetype. Mm. You know, you just want to open the coffers and go big and like be generous and like buy, consume, give. Like it's such a great vibe. But when you're spending and you maybe can't afford to do that. And I know the US is very credit-based and Australia has become much more like that in my lifetime as well, whereas it wasn't like that at all before. I didn't even know if we had credit cards. But I remember learning about them in primary school and that America, like, they have credit cards and they're in debt. That's what our teacher told us. And to me, that just really peaks in Sag season with the spending. So, yeah, make a decision perhaps while things are still a bit more cool and give yourself a budget that you can definitely afford and do not break it, but enjoy as well. And remember, you can make things. There's other ways and I think that can be more significant than just spending and buying, like make something, write a beautiful card, post a card, like if your mail service is still working. Yeah, it can be something. Generosity can come in so many ways. It doesn't have to be this sort of capitalist consumer way. And these days it's so appreciated as well because it's so much more rare. I love, like, for years I made Christmas cards by hand and I sent them holiday cards. Right. And, you know, because hardly anyone does that anymore. And, yeah, but I definitely feel that vibe if it's just like this crazy spending. It's like a frenzy. It starts getting frenzied. And then, you know, a few astrologers I've heard joke and I like to do the same. And then, you know, Capricorn season comes and we all line up to get our money back.
Right. That's so funny. It's such an, it's so obvious, classic. But yeah, it is classic.
And that's why it's so interesting. And I'm quite, you know, interested in that sun cycle through the zodiac and how we experience that. It's not usually just the sun. We've got the Venus and Mercury and other planets, you know, often in there as well because they follow the sun so closely. Like once we get to Aquarius, there's this massive pileup in Aquarius. So it's a great study if you want to step back and observe and feel the vibe at the time. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, speaking of generosity and giving, this is a good point in our program to feature our nonprofit organization for the month. And for this month, this actually just taps into what we were just talking about with water as well. Our nonprofit this month is called Charity Water. So the logo is charity with a colon and then water. And the website is charitywater.org. And Charity Water is a nonprofit organization that brings clean and safe drinking water to people in developing countries. I first learned about Charity Water. It's my very favorite charity. I learned about them when I was volunteering for an event that was held in Portland annually called the World Domination Summit, when the founder of Charity Water gave a talk on the mission and had the entire audience in tears. And it was an amazing, amazing, inspiring presentation. And I'll tell you a little bit about their mission here. And this is from their website. 785 million people live without clean water. That's nearly one in 10 people worldwide, or twice the population of the United States, that don't have access to life's most basic human need. The majority live in isolated rural areas and spend hours every day walking to collect water for their family. Not only does walking for water keep kids out of school and take up time that parents could be using to earn money, but the water often carries diseases that also make them sick. When a community gets access to clean water, it can change just about everything. Mm. It can improve health, it can increase access to food, it can grow local economies, and helps kids spend more time in school. The water crisis is huge, but it's solvable. Charity Water works with local experts and community members to find the best sustainable solutions in each place where they work, whether it's a well, a piped system, a filter, biosand filter, or a system for harvesting rainwater. And with every water point they fund, their partners coordinate sanitation and hygiene training and establish a local water committee to help keep water flowing for years to come. Charity Water invites you to learn about the stories of the men, women, and children living without clean water and how you can help. So visit charitywater.org to learn more. And to join them and make an impact for just $40, you can bring one person clean water. So get out your Sagittarian Santa Claus impulses now.
Yes.
And please give something to Charity Water in honor of us, of Astrology University, and join their monthly giving community if you can, or you donate some amount of money to them every month so they can count on that income and give the gift of clean water all year round. So I hope you'll consider donating to our highlighted nonprofit this month.
And that's what a lot of people do, don't they, for birthdays, and that could be a good one for Christmas. Like, don't give me something. I've got more than I'll ever need in 10 lifetimes. Please donate to this on my behalf. And, you know, just like send me the, this is what I did.
Exactly. Yes, I love that. I've been doing that on my birthday on social media for many years with Charity Water.
Yeah, so I do that sometimes. It's very rewarding. And it's always a charity that you want to give to. And sometimes, like, I find, like, I can't give as much as I could if I like offered to do some readings that I donate the money from that or yeah, for my birthday. Guys, 28th of November.
Yes. Okay.
We've done creative challenge points already. We've pretty much covered that actually. So let's get right on to what's on your coffee table / desk, Tony.
Yes, I have a rather serious but amazing book on my coffee table, which is The Dead Are Arising, The Life of Malcolm X. And I just taught a course with Frank Clifford on chart analysis techniques, and each of us focused on two well-known or famous people, and one of mine was Malcolm X. And so I was really digging into his life through his amazing autobiography, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, and then also this brand new biography that just came out. That's also amazing. There have been other biographies by Malcolm X, but this one is thought to be the definitive one. The fellow who did the research behind it, worked on the research for 30 years. He passed away before the book was published, but his daughter, who was his research assistant, helped finish the book and get it out. So it's an amazing resource on a very amazing person's life.
So inspirational.
Yeah, definitely. And how about you, Vanessa?
Well, I am reading, and I was thinking, how is that Sagittarian? Oh, I get it. It took me a while. So I'm reading When Women Ruled the World, Six Queens of Egypt, Ancient Egypt by Kara Cooney. Cool. And she happens to have Moon in Sagittarius, interestingly. What? And then I realized it's a foreign culture.
Right.
Even though it doesn't exist anymore.
Oh my, that's so good.
Yeah, so she's Kara is a ancient Egypt expert. And so you learn about so much about the culture. I've always been interested, but I never really knew that much. And she has a son in Pisces, so she really feels in the personal side of it all and puts the soul back in. And her big thing is, I've been listening to lots of lectures by her and talks, fascinating. And but she's, yeah, she really connects. She's got that Pisces side, really connects, and it feels really like a personal. And she said, you know, we love to other Egyptians and make it seem like they're so exotic, but they were just people like us. And her great gift is to make it relevant to what's happening now. And she says, nothing's really changed. It's all the same stuff. And she's been paralleling ancient Egypt and how politics and things like that were done with now what's happening. Fascinating. So yeah, I'm really enjoying that. I've already started it, When Women Rule the World. And the other one on my desk, there's so many on my Kindle, but is Jessica Laniardo's book in terms of astrology for real relationships, because she's my classic Capricorn. I'll be interviewing her tomorrow for Capricorn season. So I'm very excited, doing some research. I love how progressive she is and that, you know, real Capricorn realness.
Yes.
But yeah, very positive and very progressive and so practical. I like the practicality.
And showing a side of Capricorn that we don't always talk about or know is there, an amazing sense of humor, and she'll
so funny.
You guys will have a lot of fun.
Yes. I can't wait. I'm so looking forward to it.
I wrote down that book you mentioned. I'm going to have to get that one for my mom. My mom is an avid reader, and she will just love that one.
When Women Ruled the World. She's got a great talk on, she works for National Geographic quite a lot. As well, and she's got a great talk that your mum will probably enjoy as well there if you just Google her. So key takeaway and monthly mantra. What's your key takeaway, Tony?
Mine is it's a good time to wrap up projects that are coming to completion. I think you gathered that earlier, to take care of loose ends, to close the book on certain chapters of your life or on storylines that you're ready to see finalized. So take the reins on that. And it's also a good time to take care of any practical or useful material concerns. Remember, we're talking about earth signs here, that are hanging in the balance as we welcome in more air energy, as we are about to cross that threshold and step into the realm of ideas, connections, and communication more, it makes sense to clear the way for some of that mental space as part of your plan. And then also, with Mercury being out of bounds for most of December, there's plenty of access to outside-the-box thinking, and there's also a potential to get a little too far out there, as I talked about. But if you find yourself falling down a rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, just call up your favorite Saturnian friend to give you a reality check. Otherwise, just let your mind free associate and see where it leads you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like the free association, especially with the Neptune Sag coming in. And
yeah, definitely.
Yeah, where is that big conjunction happening in your chart? Get your chart out. Where are the eclipses happening? Are they conjuncting anything, squaring, opposing? That big change of the guard into Aquarius is a very significant moment, so get ready.
Yeah.
My key takeaway, I've got two, short and sweet. Take your best shot, you know, take your best shot this month, you know, aim high and then lift, aim higher.
I love it.
Absolutely go for it. There's some out of bounds. So yeah, just go wild. And the other one is, the truth will set you free. FYI, it's within.
Nice.
Yeah.
I had one more thing I wanted to say that I forgot to say earlier, which is it could be really, really nice to set aside time, if possible, on December 21st to create a ritual to welcome in this air energy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because this is a momentous shift.
It's huge.
It's not just a 20-year shift. It's a start of a new 200-year cycle. And it's
bigger than Texas.
What is it? It's bigger than Texas.
Talking about the big things, bigger than Ben-Hur.
Yes, it's an astrological biggie. So set aside some time, even if it's 5 minutes, hopefully more. Create an air ritual. So, and if you don't know what to do for an air ritual, use Google. There are lots of folks out there that can share some ideas. You can create an air altar. sure there's lots of creative things you can come up with. So.
Mm. Very significant. Yeah, absolutely. Set your intentions like any sort of new cycle. It's like the new moon. It's that new cycle. Set your intentions. What are you welcoming in? What are you committing to? What do you want to intend and focus these energies on and for? Like, what big dreams do you have in that area of life that happen to fit with that? It's like, it's a great opportunity, I would say, to have these happen, you know, these cycles in our lifetime, and when they come up, to be ready. And I find even with clients, a lot of people are already feeling that coming in, their plans and ideas really fit with that. So we're so close to it now. We can see it. Yeah. We can feel it coming and, consciously bring it in and start making those shifts ready, making those plans.
Definitely.
So, monthly mantra, what's yours?
Mine is, I open my mind to see more potentials and opportunities. Mm. I expand my horizons. I allow myself to dream and explore.
Yes, absolutely. All classic. Classic. I easily hear, listen to, and follow my intuition. Sagittarius being very intuitive.
Good one.
And just, you know, hear and go. And I easily create and maintain my own freedom in a way that respects and creates the freedom of others.
Beautiful.
Mm. Two-way street.
Yes. Lovely.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of another season of the Cosmic Eye, Sagittarius season. What are you promoting? Yes. What have you got coming up?
Yeah, we have a bunch of events at Astrology University. We have, first I'll just mention, we have our annual Black Friday sale. So we offer 20% off of our webinars and most of our courses only once a year. And this is the time, Cyber Monday through Black Friday, or I'm sorry, I said that backwards, Black Friday through Cyber Monday, from November 27th to November 30th this year. So for each of those days, you can enjoy 20% off all of our webinars. And I say most of our courses, the only courses it doesn't apply to is the courses in our four-year astrology training program, but everything else is fair game. And if you have any questions about that or need any help, email help@astrologyuniversity.com. But I will just tell you the coupon code right now, so you have it. It's GLOW20. So it's GLOW20. Make sure it applies in your cart before you check out. And email us if you need any help with that. On December 5th, we have a webinar coming up with Jason Holly, just in time for Sagittarius season, called Sagittarius in Myth and Psyche. Mm. And if you've been present for any of Jason's webinars in this series, they're amazing, amazing. Jason's weaving in myth and all of his experience as a licensed therapist over the years, working with therapy and astrology real time with clients, and has a very rich perspective to offer. And then this is from his description. He's going to take us into the liminal realm of the centaurs, beings who live primarily in the forest as nomads. Instinctual and unconstrained by the customs of human civilization, centaurs embodied a way of being, knowing, and seeing that fuses the way of the wild with the way of the human. The resulting form, sometimes awkward, often compelling, occasionally magical, has changed shape many times in the astrological tradition, and understanding these changes offers us a deeper understanding of the psychological dynamics of Sagittarian placements. So if you want to learn more about Sag, or just get into the vibe and celebrate Sagittarius, tune in for Jason's webinar December 5th.
Jason's very funny as well. So I think he'll do it a service with his sense of humor. It's very funny.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. He packs a punch in every sentence. So all our webinars are recorded so that you get the recordings when you purchase a webinar, and you can listen to them again and again. And people often love listening to his webinars on repeat. Another course coming up that's really just timed kind of perfectly, which is a course in our four-year program called The Social Planets, Jupiter and Saturn. And it's a great time to take a deep dive into the meaning of these gas giants as they change signs during the last week of class. So we'll be studying Jupiter and Saturn together as a group as Jupiter and Saturn change signs. So that'll be a really fun experience. That course starts up December 2nd. If you're listening to this after the fact, you can tune in. You can still join us, you know, up to a week or a week and a half later, and there's still opportunity to kind of catch up and get on track with us. Another course that starts that same day, December 2nd, is Chart Synthesis 301, Interpreting Challenging Combinations. And this one is about getting help with interpreting those really perplexing planetary combos that you have trouble with, things like Mars, Neptune, but a zillion other signatures that students often have trouble with. And you'll hear some really practical advice from Kelly Surtees, Frank Clifford, and myself. So I hope you can join us for one of those and check out our events calendar for more. And Vanessa, you want to tell people about your book?
Yes, it's on the streets and on the shelves. So Cosmic Power, Ignite Your Light. Here it is if you're watching, like, or if you want to go have a look, here it is on our YouTube. Ignite Your Light, A Simple Guide to Sun Signs for the Modern Mystic, all about glowing your own way.
Oh my God, I love that so much.
Yeah, glow your own way. So it's got lots of great pictures. I'm going to show a couple now. One of my favorites, of course, is Virgo. Here she is.
Beautiful.
And also Sagittarius. And I did specify, you know, make sure there's a Lady Sag, Lady Centaur. Because, yeah, from my research, you know, in the earlier days, it was meant to reflect the female intellect on the male strength on the stallion's body. So actually a return to form. From what I've learned. So yeah, awesome. Research that if anyone's not sure. And for the US, that's actually not published there yet. So you can jump the queue and get onto the book depository in the UK and they'll post you one out and they have free postage. So cool. And there's the power couple. It goes really well with star power. Yes. That's very exciting. I got some gold on that one with the big sun as well. Thank you. Very exciting to finally hold it and see it actually. Yeah. And of course I still do readings. So yeah, if you want to learn about where this big conjunction's happening in your chart, etc., just yeah, find me at astroallstars.com and we can go from there.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, folks. And until Capricorn season, enjoy your time, and we'll talk again next month.
Stay cosmic.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.